Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news episode number 195 for September 10th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And I am also posting all the episodes of the show as audio only podcasts. So you can find those on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today, we will be discussing the 259th weekly crowd forecast news report, and I'm going to put that up on the screen in just a minute here. If you haven't had a chance to take a look at this yet, just go to timingresearch.com, and you can find the full report there. I have a great lineup today, and Rob Hanna back to moderate, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thanks, David. 259. That seems like an awful lot.
Yeah. So
I remember when you started it. Pretty soon, people are going to start introducing themselves and saying, "Well, I've been trading as long as Timing Research has been around."
Yeah, it'll be five years. I've been doing the report next week, I guess.
Wow.
Or this coming week. So.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, and as of what was it? A week or two ago was 4 years that I've been doing this show and 1 year that I've been doing the Tuesday show.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been great so far. So really appreciate everyone, all of you being guests on the shows and everyone watching. So
it's great being here.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having me back again this week. And we got an experienced group back here. The people I've talked to several times before. So I'm expecting a good show here. And we got an interesting, I thought, report this week as well. A lot of times, you know, it'll be pretty much split. And there was a lot of bearish in this week's responses. So I found that to be interesting. And I found the odds interesting as well when we've seen that many bearish. And the nice thing about having 259 reports now is you've got a nice sample size. When you first started the show, the sample sizes were so small, it was hard to understand what the meaning it was of the crowd being one way or the other. And now with all the big sample sizes, we've really got some useful data here, I think.
Yeah, and all that data is freely available to anyone who wants it on the website. So, and if anyone has any questions about you know, anything related to how it's collected or how the reports are generated or anything, I'm happy to answer any of those questions. There's a contact form on timingresearch.com.
All right, great. So why don't I go through and let everybody introduce themselves, and I'll do it as I wrote it down here. So, Anka, you're at the top of my list, Anka Metcalf from Trade Out Loud. You want to give us a little intro to you and your trading and the Trade Out Loud site?
Thank you, Rob, and thank you, David, for having me here. Hi, all the guests that are here invited. Really awesome to be surrounded by really awesome traders today. My name is Anka Metcalf, and I am the founder and CEO of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education and service firm that provides trading education for individuals that want to take on day trading and swing trading for the equities and the futures market. I have been trading as a professional trader for the last 15 years. And before coming to this industry, I actually come from the same industry, 10 plus years in investment banking. I'm the designer of an institutional proprietary trading method. The reason why I'm a designer, I'm sorry, guys, I can't take credit for it. The system was already invented. I just had to adapt it for my account size. And this is what I'm doing right now for all of my clients and for myself included, because it's different when you trade a smaller account versus an institutional account. So price support resistance is something that I focus on 100% of the time. There is so much more than meets the eye. There's so much more than supply and demand. There are actually 7 layers that I take into consideration before taking each trade. I also focus on specific trigger times because I'm a day trader. I focused on AM trigger times and PM trigger times. These are specific for day trading and they happen at pretty much precise timings all throughout the day, every single day. Also specific price zones. When you're trading futures, there are specific price zones where algos seem to line up, when every institutional trader seems to line up their buys or their sell orders. And this is something that we also teach in our classes here at Trade Out Loud. Chart synchronicity today is a perfect example. example, we started the day with NASDAQ being one of the strongest index, and we had a pretty good balance in the E-mini Dow, the S&P, and Russell. And right now, NASDAQ, and right now, YM, which is the E-mini Dow index futures, is, so the Dow is going a little bit divergent. It is trading about 58 points down right now. I also use a strict set of trading rules that enable myself and my traders to identify trades with a little bit ease. A little bit about what we offer. We offer trading education. We have a Power Income Futures day trading class that we're providing each month. And actually next week is going to be the debut for the September class. And also I'm teaching the swing trading and active investing in stocks and ETFs. And this is also this is actually a quarterly class that I teach. Also we provide the live trading room for day trading futures and swing trading futures and stocks. And our newest service is auto trading program for, it is an active futures. We only trade futures. We have a transparent two-year real-time portfolio. So if you guys are interested, you could visit our website for more information on that.
Okay, thank you, Anka. Good to have you back. Good to be able to talk to you. Fausto, you want to give us a little bit on yourself and Cyber Trading University before we get going?
Yeah, sure. No problem. You know, I've been here for, I think I'm probably with 2-3 years now I've been here, but it's been great talking on Time Research. Cyber Trading University has been in business for about 25 years. I started the company being one of the original Souls Bandits that started. Been teaching people ever since. Hundreds of thousands of people have gone through Cyber Trading University over the years. I teach specifically day trading, a little bit on the swing trading, on the stocks and equity side. I live here in New York. I was trained by some of the best traders in the world. And basically what we do is we kind of train students, but not only teach them, but we also run a professional trading room, the original trading room that started, I started over 20 years ago, and basically take the same concept that I've learned here as a market maker, as a trader, and implement it online. And I've been doing it ever since. So like I said, you're here to listen in what we all have to talk about, and it's some great speakers. I'm going to basically give our feedback on not only as a swing trader or an investor, but more or less like another day trader.
Awesome. Thanks, Fausto. And Jim, why don't you give yourself a little introduction, tell people.
Yeah, I provide the content for optionprofessor.com. And basically every week we also have a podcast that's available to people. So we'll talk later in the broadcast on how to reach me on that and become more aware of that weekly update on all the different markets. And I mean, across the board from stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, you name it. So we do cover the gauntlet. Two of the big things we try to stress in the option education area is hedging, be it on your long-term positions when they get, you know, way, way away from the 200-day moving average, how you might be able to protect some of those gains like we just saw in Amazon. How the stock fell apart pretty fast and Facebook fell apart pretty fast. Has to be some people out there who've lost some of those gains. They could have offset some of that risk by using the strategies on hedging. And even when you're doing the short-term trades, you know, sometimes we tend to be 100% wrong on things. And so if you're going to be 100% wrong on things, putting a hedge on is not the worst advice you've ever gotten. So, and then of course on other trading strategies, I do like the idea of the two-sided trade because of the volatility. So that would be your straddles and strangles. Try to get these people knowledgeable, confident that they know the use, they know the risk, and when it's time to pull the trigger, they do it with confidence.
All right, great, Jim. Thanks for that intro. Look forward to hearing your thoughts again this week. I think it's going to be an interesting week. So just a little bit on myself and then we can get to it. I'm Rob Hanna. I've been trading for north of 20 years. I've been around on the internet since 2003 or so, I guess. I used to write a little column for Trading Markets. Then I started a site called Quantifiable Edges in 2008. I still run Quantifiable Edges. You can find me there. I also started a site called Overnight Edges that merged with Master the Gap in 2014 and became InvestiQuant. So I provide content at InvestiQuant, and I have a service there for swing trading as well as the overnight trading. Quantifiable Edges also mostly focuses on swing trading, though there's some intermediate term there as well. All of my research or my trading is quantitatively based. So I'll look at odds, I'll look at historical bat tests, and I'll learn about the market that way. And that's how I tend to do things, rather than looking at fundamentals. Or I don't do a whole lot of chart reading either, although I use chart patterns to design quantitative systems. So it's not a whole lot different than technical analysis. All right, let's get into it. Let me first just run through everybody and looking for one word answer here on, are you looking for the market to move up or down? Are you bullish or bearish for the week? And then once we can understand where the four of us are and what side we'll each be arguing, then I'll be happy to get into and discuss reasons. So I'll go from bottom to top. I'll go first. I am bullish. Jim, how about you?
Yeah, bullish.
Okay. Fausto?
Can I say flat?
Sure. I can't stop you from here.
I think we're going to be, you tell me from the middle of from here to the middle of the week, I don't think we're going to go anywhere. I think we're just going to hover right here. We're going to be flat.
Okay. Anka, you bullish, bearish, or Fausto?
I love you guys. I'm a little bit of Fausto and a little bit of you guys. I agree 100% with Fausto. I think midweek we're probably going to get a little bit of direction. I think that we're going to have pretty sideways price action. But what I did love is the answer that we had in the timing research sheet that we've got, 61.8%. Wow, what a fib number. I'm bullish.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. And the interesting thing is, so I was figuring somebody would be bearish since we had most of the respondents as bearish. So everyone here is either flat or bullish. So we'll still have some interesting discussion. What's interesting, though, is David pointed out in the report that there has been similar conditions, meaning with a lot more confidence and a lot more people saying market's going lower, 25 times over the last 258 weeks, and the majority sentiment has been correct only 32% of the time. And the average S&P move was up 0.42% higher for the week. So timing research is going against its crowd here and saying there's a 68% chance of a move higher. So that's interesting. And it's not terribly surprising to me. When things get overdone in one direction, they tend to bounce the other way. So we'll see how it plays out this week. I want to go through and get some reasons why you guys are thinking the directions you're thinking. I'll go top down again here. So Anka, you wanna start and tell us a little bit why you're thinking we'll be flat to maybe up later in the week?
Well, first off, I think we had on Friday, we had a really nice pinning formation on the daily charts, especially, well, all the charts throughout. So no matter, regardless of what index you're looking at. I do trade futures, so I look at all the indices, obviously. And even the SPX has a really nice bottoming at the 2864 zone, which is the heavy confluence zone. We have the 200 moving average there. We had the really nice reversal off of it. And we also had in the overnight trading session that we had. And also we have this pivoting area that is deriving from the prior resistance that was created back in August. So really nice sustainable pivot here, unless proven otherwise, obviously. But the fact that we've triggered the long today, so we had the pullback buy already set up, we're into a very strong ongoing trend. 2883 was the trigger. We actually managed to make a high today of 2886.93 in the SPX. And I still think that as long as we're trading within these Friday's parameters, we're still looking a tad higher. I think the next target is going to be into the 95 and 2900 for the SPX. And this is what I'm seeing for, obviously for a little bit of shorter term.
Okay. Fausto, how about you? What are you seeing that would make you think that we're probably not going to get a whole lot of movement early this week?
Well, I mean, it's not really that much movement going to come out due to the holidays. I mean, New York being a very, being the big holiday that's here, a lot of kids are off from school, a lot of people going away. I don't think there's really that much going on unless there's going to hear something come out of Washington or whatever. But, you already had the job reports come out. Everything looks pretty good. I'm more concerned, we'll probably get to talk about a little bit later, is more towards when you start getting around the elections times of the year. I think that's where the big concern is going to be. But right now, I mean, listen, the economy's doing great. Market's doing great. We've got to go through another cycle of earnings. We'll see how that goes out. But overall, when you're talking from week to week, especially even going into next week, you got another holiday that's coming up. You got Yom Kippur, kids are off from school again. So, you know, being here in New York, financial capital world, a lot of people are not going to be trading. So that's why I was coming out as the overall market, S&P being more of a flat. We're not going to, I don't think we're going to be breaking out of like an all-time high or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Jim, let me go to you. What do you think bullish?
Yeah, we haven't talked too much about the news that's hitting this week, and there's not a ton of it, but tomorrow we're going to have some wholesale trade numbers coming out, but more importantly, Thursday and Friday, you got CPI, and if CPI gets married to the wage inflation number, you know, I think that could shake things up a little bit. And the forecast is for no inflation, so obviously the bond market doesn't price any inflation into anything. I mean, the 30-year is still trading desperately right around 3. So there's no inflation at all factored into the bond market, in my view. And then, of course, on Friday, you hit the fan pretty good with retail sales, which are supposed to be very strong. You got import-export prices, which are supposed to be not moving very much at all. And then you've got industrial production supposed to bounce back. Business inventory supposed to bounce back to try to narrow the gap between all these sales that are being made. And then you've got consumer sentiment, which is supposed to be very strong. And so, you know, there is some things hitting the fan between now and the end of the week, and how they turn out probably be a factor. Now, why would I be somewhat positive now? Transports just made an all-time high today. So I'm not going to get negative on the stock market when the transports are making all-time highs. Secondly, the VIX hit 15 and then rolled over. 15 is kind of my equilibrium on the VIX. You start seeing 16, 17, 18 on the VIX, then all bets are off. We'll probably take out last week's low and we're back in the soup. But if you hold this 15 area and roll over with the transports going like they're going, I think there's a rotation out of tech into things like healthcare, industrials, as well as consumer staples more than the consumer discretionaries. So it looks like people are getting a little bit conservative on their rotations right now. And again, you know, that's why I think it could be a little bit positive this week. But if this VIX starts going 16, 17, then all bets are off and you better get on the other side.
Okay. Yeah, the VIX certainly is something to watch. It's interesting that it's as the S&P has pulled back over the last week plus, the VIX really, you know, it's gone up overall, I think, over the same 6 days. Yeah, it's been going up while the S&P has been coming down, which is unusual action, right? I mean, I'm sorry. No, that's usual action. But it hasn't been going up very fast. So we're up a little bit. I don't know, 15, you're right. That's right where we were at in August, near the bottom of the dip. And that's right around where we were at the July bottom of the dip as well. So if people don't get any more anxiety ridden about what's going on, then perhaps we can get a nice bounce here. I guess if that's what you're looking at with the VIX.
Yeah, and if it meanders around here, Fausto's going to be right on that we're just going to be blipping around here while Rosh Hashanah is happening.
Yeah. The so I'll just get into mine a little bit. I'm looking at bullish for a few reasons. One, the swing edges data over at InvestiQuant looking pretty strong, especially for the Qs as opposed to the other indices. And it makes sense because they've pulled back the hardest. But there it's looking at over the next 5 days. Let me pull it up. About a 59% chance of us being higher, but a profit factor of 1.6, meaning that you would expect to make about 60% more than you would lose if you were to play a week like this every time when we saw odds that were coming through with the swing edges data. We're also short-term oversold in a long-term uptrend, and that's generally a pretty good setup, right? So the S&P coming into today had posted, I think, 6 lower highs and 6 lower lows in a row. That's pretty unusual. It's very unusual coming off of an all-time high or even a 50-day high. So we've had a steady pullback here, but it's a bit overdone. I think we're due for a bounce, and we'll see if that bounce is strong or not. I think there's possibility it could be. There's one indicator I track at Quantifiable Edges, which it's funny. You know, Fausto's got some good points, and I agree with him. And this indicator, what it does, it looks at historical volatility on a short-term basis. So it looks at the last 3 days. versus the previous 10. And when the most recent 3 days have been very tight compared to the previous 10, then what it says is, well, we're probably going to get a sharp move here in the next few days because we've had a contraction in volatility. Now you're likely to get some kind of an expansion. And so we'll see. It doesn't predict direction. For that, I look at other things, and my other things are saying up. But it does predict expansion in volatility. It tends to be right about two-thirds of the time. So we'll see how that plays out. What kind of things are you guys seeing or thinking about maybe longer term that would or coming up in the news that would get you to come off of the stance, come off of the bullish stance, or what kind of things would warn you? Fausto, what would get you to let me start with you. What would get you to say, looks like I'm more of a bull or I'm more of a bear rather than thinking flat at this point?
I'll tell you, you're hearing it all day long. It's definitely the elections in 2015, the elections coming up in November. I mean, you know, I try to get people not to be political when it comes to trading, because when you do, that's when you lose. And you just have to kind of the facts are the facts, you know. And I talked about in a show in 2008 when we, you know, when Obama bailed out the banks, it was the greatest thing because we made so much money back then. And you might be, as a taxpayer, you might be against it, but as a trader, you loved it. You know, now going into what's happened with the Trump effect, you know, you might hate Trump, but sure enough, you know, doing certain things that he did, you could see the rally that came in. Listen, the word on the street is this. If, you know, I'm not going to know what to do until, you know, I'm day trading. So I see it every day, what's going on in the market. There's a lot of stocks that are moving every day, you know, working off the big percentage gainers and losers. But there are a lot of people out there that are really concerned. They're like, listen, you know, the Dow Jones is up in the past 2 years. I mean, we're up almost like 10, 15,000 points. I'm not going to know what to do until like maybe around mid-October, you know, ending of October, what's going on. But, you know, rumor on the street is that, you know, if the Democrats are focusing on impeachment and they do win the House, they're predicting the market's going to drop 5, 10,000 points. They're not going to want that to happen. No one's going to say that. But I know a lot of people, even in my industry, are going to want to just sell out before the election. And if nothing happens, they'll buy it back after, you know. But nobody, Wall Street doesn't like to play, you know, to play Russian roulette. You know, they don't like the idea of laying out money and well, woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, that's what it is. And, you know, that's my only concern, what's going on, what's going to happen with the elections. You know, the tax, if tax 2.0 comes out, that's great news, you know, but if they're worrying about trying to get rid of the taxes, a lot of people, you know, listen, don't, like I said, not trying to get political with anyone, but when it comes down to it, you know, that's what I'm hearing on the street. So that's my biggest concern getting into maybe the next event when I come on.
So let me ask you a couple questions. One, do you trade futures typically, or no. Do you trade stocks?
Just strictly stocks.
Okay.
Strictly the stock, which is so what you hear most of the whole day.
That are happening on a day-to-day basis, right?
Exactly.
You're going, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then now your point about the election is that's an interesting one. If people think back to, you know, when it was Trump against Hillary a couple of years ago, we had the market went down heading into the election. And then when it looked like Trump was going to win that night, it got, you know, it was locked the limit down, I think. It was down like 5%.
It was chaos. I remember that. The futures were like unbelievable, like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all down like 5%. And then when it went from, oh no, it looks like he's going to win to, oh, he's definitely going to win, they shot back up.
Right. And you know what? I try to explain to people, listen, if you're a Trump hater or you're a pro-Trump lover, at the end of the day, we're all in the same business. We're all traders. Okay. So, you know, you got to look at it that way. Like if you're a Trump hater, like I tell everyone, and you want him to get impeached or this and that, and you're making money in this market, you got to, you're not going to sell. I mean, if everybody else is, listen, I'm members of some of the biggest country clubs here in New York. I mean, these traders are my best friends. I hang out with them all day. This is what they tell me. You know what I mean? So, you know, and, you know, everyone's all over the world. They don't know what it's like if you live on Wall Street, like myself, other people live on Main Street. I learn from the best traders doing this. So I'm just doing what they're doing, you know? And like some of the people, like I keep bringing back 2008 because that was one of the best days. I made the most amount of money I ever did, you know, in that market. And people are like, I can't believe they're doing this. The scrutiny, you know, why are we bailing out? They should go out of business. They already ripped me off. I lost my house. I'm like, then go out, buy Citibank at a dollar. I'm like, what, are you crazy? I'll make it all back and you'll be able to pay your house in cash. They're like, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm like, are you out of your mind? I mean, that's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. But that's what you learn with experience. And that's what's being part of why we're here. We're we'll give you our experience, what happened. I've been through the crash even back in 1995, you know what I mean? So I've been there, I lived through it, and I'm only sharing you as a trader's perspective other than just a typical, you know, a beginner trader is just like, you know, trying to put their 2 cents in there and thinking like, ah, this can't happen. And that's what's great about being on the show and listening it. Yeah. But I don't want to take away too much of everyone else.
The thing with the whole impeachment, issue in the election, while there's uncertainty with that, I think we can see the market selling off. And once the uncertainty is relieved, whether he gets impeached or not, right? That's when the market then can feel free to rally a lot of the time. So it's
exactly.
It's the anxiety,
and it's also the protection of yourself to say, you know what, listen, people don't like uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
You'd rather just don't sit there and gamble, you know, and that's gambling is not having control. You don't want to be in that situation. Just get out of it, which a lot of people are going to do. Let the smoke clear. When the smoke clears, you'd rather be more comfortable. I have no problem paying more money for a stock. You know, I'd be crying by losing. So everybody's always worried about losing money. Nobody cares about making money. Takes care of itself. It's the losers. If you knew the market was going to drop 5,000 points, would you not sell? You'd be like, well, you know, were you a big boy? Of course you're going to sell. There's an old saying, you could just buy back cheaper. That's all. And that's what I'd rather do.
Okay. Jib, do you want to comment on either this or other things that you're thinking about for a little bit longer term?
Yeah, a little longer term. You know, as always, there's going to be tailwinds and headwinds, right? So as I'm seeing the picture right now, is the tailwinds are obviously the earnings and the tax cut stimulus, which is supposed to be good for about $2 trillion. You know, people don't understand, if you lower the rim from 10 feet to 6 feet, right, by cutting taxes like they did, you know, everyone's going to be dunking, right?
Yep.
So, you know, if you put it into that, I like to put it into sports, as you know, Rob, but the visual's there, right? And if you cut people's taxes from $10 to $6, the rim is now 6 feet off the ground. And then every kid in the neighborhood is dunking backwards, right? So that's kind of what happens when you do the tax cut. And so that's a very big tailwind. And then you've got the repat money and the buybacks they've committed to, which is like $1 trillion worth of buybacks. And then you've got consumers out there. Look at the malls. Look at Macy's. Look at all those stocks. You know, they've really had a big run because of consumers out there. This is all tailwinds. And, you know, you don't want to step in front of powerful tailwinds. So as far as the bet is concerned, the big bet is still up. You know, if you're a big, managing money, you know, the big bet is still up. Now, what's the headwinds? Because there always is some. And I've been around for 30, 40 years. So believe me, I've seen headwinds come in. And the trees don't grow to the sky is not just some German phrase to me, okay? As we saw with Amazon when it hit 2050, right? So the thing here is there's slowdown going on in China and in Germany and Europe. So if that German stock market, which hanging around 12,000, starts trading 11,000 or 10,000, that's a problem. And if the Chinese stock market, which is hanging around 2,700, starts trading 2,500, you know, that's a problem. Interest rates, like I said, there is no inflation factored into these interest rates. These interest rates are a joke. Consider, yeah. I mean, you know, we've all been around a long time. If somebody told you the Dow's pushing 30,000 and they can't squeeze a couple 3% out of a bond market, would you think that's a joke? I mean,
right.
You would think that's a joke. I mean, you know, we're 30, you know, if you thought houses were going for 700 grand, $1 million, $2 million, and they have a hard time getting these rates above 3%, you'd say that's a joke. So if inflation, which we just saw a little bit in the wage inflation, if that were to accelerate through the system more, I think the bond market could really rock and roll in a very big way. And then, of course, the saber rattling. You know, we only have $50 billion worth of trade tariffs going on. The guy's talking $500 billion, but that's called saber rattling. Well, if saber rattling started going into poking each other with the sword, then that's going to be a whole different ball game than talking about it. Okay, so $50 billion's been a joke. How do you know it's a joke? Because we just had the Chinese trade deficit show a record. So they're still bringing all this stuff over at a fast pace, right? So again, that if that trade tariff stuff starts getting hairier, I think that's a problem. And then another thing that people don't talk about is the complacency. The entire planet's long stock, and the entire planet is sitting around acting as if the all-time high is someplace to be very complacent. And I think the majority of people, me included, are kind of subscribing that there could be a 10% melt-up in the fourth quarter. And that might happen, obviously, if the trade thing gets settled, or if, in fact, the inflation numbers start picking up, you could see a spike up in bonds and a rally in the market that might be very strong. So, you know, there's always headwinds out there, but again, the big bet is still up and you got some pretty reasonable lines in the sand. That 2,800 on the S&P looks like a pretty reasonable line in the sand. And then underneath that 2,700. So if you stay above 2,800, you know, these other tailwinds probably will beat out the headwinds.
Yeah, and you brought up I just want to connect a few of the points you made there with the buybacks and the fact that everyone owns stock, and also mentioned the fact that, you know, we've got not only is there less stock out there because companies are buying their stocks back, but there are actually less stocks traded these days than there were several years ago. So everybody owns the same stocks.
And the ETF concentration of stocks is also something that hasn't been tested. So, you know, if Tom, Dick, and Harry wanted to get out because of an event, and these guys who run these ETFs have to sell because redemptions are coming in, I think that's something that people have put absolutely no weight into. Yeah. And of course, when they put no weight into something, it can sometimes come back and be a problem, not unlike Angelo Mozzillo and his crowd with the real estate.
Yeah, so someday we'll have something, some event happen, and it'll be interesting. For now, we're just plugging higher a little bit. So we'll see. Anka, what about you? You want to jump in on any of this, or do you have other stuff you're looking at for the that could either take you off your current approach, or that you're concerned about going out into the next few weeks or months?
Well, we are approaching the fourth quarter. There's very little that I can add here. But as we're going into the fourth quarter, I think we're going to bring back more of the price dynamics. I think that the market may be heading higher. There is also the concern with the midterm elections in November. Also, trade negotiations that are going to be ongoing with Canada, China, and European Union. And I think that's also going to be a factor that we need to take into consideration. Also, there's another thing with a potential government shutdown in September. There are talks, discussions. So I'm going to be, and I don't like to focus on news. I just trade pure price action, and I trade what the market is providing us, whether it is a swing or a day trade. But these are some things that I keep in the back of my mind, and I surf the news. I look at them. I see how the price is going to react. And right now, there are a lot of jitters. There are a lot of jitters in the market today and tomorrow. Again, this is also because of the holiday. But that aside, September doesn't have a great reputation as being a very strong month. So I think that we may be meandering around these areas for the rest of September. Things may be picking up in the last week of September. Prior to that, we have option expiration. That may be a little bit of balancing out. Then we have possibly we're ending this quarter. We had some phenomenal stocks that have made new highs after new highs. I mean, take a look at AMD today. It's just phenomenal. Day trading, swing trading, whatever you want to do is just phenomenal just to watch. Also, window dressing, right? Because I've been mentioning the end of the quarter, there might be some window dressing having some really, really, really strong stocks that have rallied really nicely through the summer months. This is something that I'm going to keep an eye on. Also, we do have the Apple conference that is coming this week. When is that? On the 12th. I think it's Wednesday. Apple is also trying to reverse nicely. So these are some of the things that I'm looking for short-term, long-term, going into the year-end. But I think overall, the market definitely looks higher. We're still in a very, very bullish trend. We'll see how the mid-elections are going to turn out. And that's definitely going to be either a buying opportunity or buying the dip again, or we'll see, or shorting opportunity. We'll see.
Yeah. Interesting to me also is that when we're looking at the elections, they are coming at a time where I have a couple of longer term indicators that are seasonality indicators that will be turning bullish. One is, you know, the best 6 months. Everyone knows that, right? Which is the says November through April is where most of the stock gains are made. And then May through October is generally the more difficult 6 months. So the November through April period starts right when, you know, the election is happening. So that's kind of converging there. The other thing that's converging there is the presidential cycle. Generally, the first couple of years of a presidency are the two more bearish years. Now, we haven't seen that. Market's been doing very well over the first years. And I some people measure from January, some people measure from the inauguration date, and some people measure from the election date. It doesn't matter a whole heck of a lot. I've always measured from the election date. It just works better for me. It keeps things simpler. So my presidential cycle indicator will be turning bullish in November as well. So that's a time where we'll have some bullish seasonality coming in, where it's been a little bit of a headwind now, although the momentum has overcome it. It could be a tailwind come that time. So maybe we do get a pullback heading into then. Anka, you brought up September seasonality. Interestingly, the week that has been the worst week of the year, looking back to, I think I went back to 1984 because that's when options trading started with the S&Ps. But the week that suffered the most has been the week after options expiration in September. If we look at the different weeks of the month, basing it by week and month of year. And most of the time, you've got 2 weeks to go. That's really, that turns out to be the last week of September. And normally, the fourth week is pretty good. But we don't have anything after the fourth Friday here, because the fourth Friday is the 28th, and then Monday is October 1st. So we'll see if the bearish seasonality continues to play out there the way I've measured it on Friday of month. Let's get into our question of the week here, unless someone has something else that they really want to jump in with before I get to that. Okay. So let's look at what procedures do you use to monitor and evaluate your trading results and your progress over time? So many different ways to do this, and I'm with so many experienced traders here today, I think we'll get some pretty good answers to this. So let me start with Fausto. I remember you talking a little while. You want to let us know what you do to evaluate and track your trading results?
This is actually a great question. It's actually one of the main things that we kind of teach. One of the things you have to understand as being a professional trader is it's not about the reward, it's the risk. And the only way you progress is by learning from your mistakes. So the biggest thing that you need to focus on is what I really teach more than anything from the beginning when you first make your first trade. You're supposed to have a journal. Like, we built our own journal, an automatic journal that kind of progresses, see where you're at. You need to know what level type of trade you are. Listen, if you can't trade, I have a whole thing. I have a whole line I use. I just trade one share. If you can't trade one share, you'll never learn how to trade 100. You'll never learn how to trade 1,000. You'll never learn how to trade 10,000. So the idea is you want to know how much you're up in points, and you kind of build your progression. It's more or less, like I even show you, probably see it on here. I even came out with my own mouse pad. It tells you the best times and worst times to trade. So, you learn by trading, not watching. You don't learn from demo trading. Demo trading is only good to learn the platform, get used to it. But you got to learn the style that you like, depending on who's your mentor. And you got to listen to a few people that teach you how to trade, because, just because you trade, stocks doesn't mean you're not going to love options more. Everything has different style. But the big thing to evaluate your progress is your journal. And I'll be happy to email anyone if they want a copy of our journals. A platform to use, but you evaluate what you've done over the course of the day. You'll eventually evaluate what's consistent over the week. So, what days are better than others. You'll see that Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays are always the best days. Those are hump days. You'll evaluate and see what times of the months are better. One of the big things I preach right now, I tell everyone, September, October, November, the best months of the year to trade. Come back from summer, people want a new job, you go into an election year, whatever it may be. So these are more of the momentum times of the year. And you got Christmas coming around, and then and then winter, and people getting prepared for vacation, kids are from school. So you learn, when the best times to trade, when the worst times to trade. You learn how to progress. You learn what stocks. You learn how to build up your account. I kind of use it like a deck of cards. If anybody here ever played blackjack, I tell them that, listen, if this is your job, this is what you have to do. You play with a deck of cards. You play dollar hands. If you do it all week, eventually, I know what's going to come up in this and that. Then you go to $2, you go to $5. It's just numbers. But if you can't make money, trading one share, you'll never learn how to trade money trading 1,000 shares. But the only way you do that is by journaling, by the day, also having another platform that we have, by the month, that lets you know if you're ready to go to that next level to progress. But that's more or less how you do it. And then most important thing you do is that when you do make money and you've seen that you're progressing, go spend it. because if you don't spend it, you're never going to know what the fun of it is. You know, it doesn't do anything sitting in the bank. Go buy, you know, buy a nice car, at least, you know, a nice watch. Girl, buy a nice pocketbook. You know, you got to spend it. One thing I always taught as a trader, go out there and spiel and spend it, enjoy it, because it could be gone tomorrow. And people are like, oh, look, I built my account. I'm up like 50%. Big deal. Go spend it. You don't need the 50%. You don't need all that money in the bank. Go out there and spend it, enjoy it. And that's what it's all about. Building an account doesn't make you rich. You know, enjoying it's what you live for. And that's my two cents.
I like that. And I'll tell you, as far as just trading, you know, you say just trade one share. I couldn't agree more with that. You know, there are people that suggest, all right, you know, paper trade for a while. And I never saw a value in paper trading. You can back test. And to me, that's the same thing as paper trading. Like you can learn a little something from it, but I don't see any more value in paper trading than I do in backtesting. If you're trying to learn how something works, then just backtest it. But if you're ready to actually put money to work, you got to put something, you know.
Rob, let me tell you something.
Bet $5, bet $10. If I make a $10 bet with somebody on a basketball game, it means something to win or lose. But if you say, I'll bet you they're
going to win. Anything more than 2 weeks on demo mode, I tell everyone, you're wasting your time. Go back to your day job. People can sit there and they'll sit back and they'll say, oh, look what I could have done. Just go buy the damn thing. Just do one share of it. What do you have to lose? Money? If that's what you're worried about, you shouldn't be in this business. You don't hit about 1,000. And you know, and I joke around in my trading room, like you always get people in there and they're always like, oh, like I could have bought that. I said, send me your journals, let me see it. And if you refuse to, and I'm like, listen, this is not for you, you know. And as much as you might not want to hear it, you're better off hearing the facts. But you know what? At the end, you think education's expensive? You think losing money's expensive? What about your time? You know, you get to sit here for months. I hear people say they've been trading for 6 months. I'm like, oh, great. You should be making at least six figures. I'm like, no, not really. I haven't really did a trade yet. I'm like, what? You haven't traded yet? What are you doing? You're like wasting your time. And, you know, but they're out there. And as much as they want to hear it, sometimes you got to call them out on it, because I would rather them quit sooner than later, because they'll be sitting there and just doing it. But well, that what is what it is, but hopefully everybody gets to learn, learn a little bit from that and utilize it. One share.
Something. All right, Jim. How about you? What do you use?
Well, here's my two cents on this one. Is if you're going to be trading your own account, that means you're really trying to be a professional trader, right? Okay. So if we agree that when you're trading your own account, you're trying to be a pro trader, then you've got to put the litmus test that they put on pro traders. And the first thing is what's the methodology? Do you have a probability type situation that you work with? Is it a situation where if the market gets X percentage away from the moving averages, you try to take advantage of, you know, overbought, oversold, whatever your methodology, that's number one. Do you have a good methodology with a decent probability looking backwards? And then you got to get into just the way you gauge all the pros. And that is month to month, what's the return? What's the drawdown? And what you want to see, obviously, is some steady returns and not that many drawdowns. Because the problem with drawdowns is you lose your confidence, you abandon your system, you do a lot of problematic situations. So if you can find a strategy that can be consistent for you, where the gains are coming in pretty good, but there's not too many roller coasters like the old cyclone taking you way down and getting your teeth to fall out of your head, then you're probably onto something. And then the consistency of keep on keeping on and over time starts kicking in. But if you want to do it on your own, then like Fausto's saying, get some kind of grid sheet or whatever and look at it month to month, or if you're day trading, maybe look at week to week. But generally most professionals look at it month to month and then year over year. And then, like I say, if you find yourself not with a lot of drawdowns and pretty good cumulative results, then you're onto something. If your numbers look like OJ's lie detector test, then you might want to, like Fausto says, go back to your other job.
Okay. How about you? What procedures do you use to monitor and evaluate your trading results and progress over time?
I have a performance portfolio that I have kept the first day when I started trading, believe it or not. So it goes way, way back. Since the inception of Trade Out Loud, we've been having a track record for all our swing trades and day trades and everything that we've done. And I think that it is important, not from not from the standpoint of, okay, this is our methodology, this is what we do, and this is our results, but it's important to show every single trader that you need to track your performance. You need to know when is your best day, like Fausta said, when is the best timing for you in the market, and what is the best strategy. I've also mentioned the fact to all my traders that you need to have this journal. It is a mandatory thing, just like you know how to enter a trade, how to exit a trade, how to trail a trade, etc., and how to position size. You need to know how to form this journal for yourself. So this journal can work for you. This is going to autocorrect all your errors in trading. At the end of the month, you can run very quickly through your notes because you need to include a column for notes for detailed explanation of each and every single trade. You don't need to do this while you're trading, but at the end of the day, it's very important to track all your tradings and make a note what worked, what didn't work, what was the timing when you got the trade, what was the strategy that you applied. There are a lot of day traders that are not great with gaps and love and insist to trade gaps. Maybe this is not for you. Look for pullback buys within a trend. Look for breakouts. Look for other types of strategies, because at the end of the month, or a better evaluation comes at the end of the quarter. And I think that at the end of the quarter is the best time to evaluate your trades, because you're running through a full earnings cycle and new cycle and etc. So I think it's very important for you to find out at the end of that quarter what strategy worked for you, what time of the day worked for you. And it's not that complicated. 3 months are flying by super fast. If you're at the beginning of your journey, and if you really want to succeed in this business, this is a mathematical precision business. It's not something that you can wing it, okay? You're trading against algorithms. You're trading against, actually, 85% of the market volume right now is algorithmic trading, okay? So it's ruthless. You either trade with them or you trade against them, and you have to learn how to trade with them, and you have to know how to read price action. So I think it's very important not only to have a journal and state, what you were trading, the symbol, the direction, your entry, your stop, your target, but have really solid notes of what worked for you within that strategy. And also, this is something that my mentor taught me at the beginning of my career many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago. And he taught me to have, two charts, the charts that to have two snapshots of the chart that I was trading on the same time frame. So basically, if I took the E-mini Dow long, or if I took Apple long, okay, have that chart printed out twice, or you could actually have a snapshot on your computer and mark your entries, mark your stop area that you used, marked where you trailed out of that trade. And then on the other chart, look at price action and see what price action has dictated for you for that chart. And that's the only way you can autocorrect your trading, by doing a thorough investigation, what actually happened in your trade. Because guess what? Trading, and this is for all our audience, trading does not start at 9:30 and does not end at 4 o'clock. Trading starts way earlier, around 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and the day is not done until 5 or 6 p.m. and until after you run over all your stocks and everything, all the market has to do, and prep for the next day.
Okay, yeah, great. And I think one thing I'll add with what I do, and something that I did well from the beginning that helped me a lot when I started trading, and you've all been kind of dancing around it or saying it different ways, is when I tracked my trades, I would put everything into an accounting software, but you can use, Excel or whatever, however you do your P&L, I would assign a reason to every trade. So the reason would have to be either a setup. I had, swing trading setups, or day trading setups that I would use, but they all had names. Or if it was something that didn't quite match any of my setups, and I went ahead and took it anyway. The reason I assigned a reason to that, and that was hunch, right? So after a few months of trading, I looked at, I could organize my P&L sheet by reason. And if you can sort by that, then you can see what strategies are working the best, whether it's your RSI 2 pullback strategy, your breakout strategy, or your hunch strategy. And it didn't take very long for me to realize that my hunch strategy was by far the worst strategy I had. And there was no reason for me to be trading as a new trader using any kind of hunches. And so it got me disciplined pretty quick, seeing that anytime I'm thinking this or that, or I got some crazy reason to take a trade other than my setups, I should just forget it and just look at my setups. And by doing that, it also lets you see which of your setups are your better ones, or which ones you're better at trading also. So, very few people just trade one setup over and over and over. It's a tough thing to do. As the market evolves, you kind of need to change things around sometimes. There's certain markets, environments that are good for breakout trading or trend following. There's some that are good for reversion trading. So it's nice to have setups that do multiple, or have multiple setups that can take advantage of different environments. But the one setup I had that couldn't take advantage of anything was my hunches. All right, we're near the end of our time here. Let's just go through. I want to say, let everyone have a chance to say goodbye. If you got something going on that you want us to know about quickly at your site, please do so. And if you have a trade idea for the week, please share that. Anka, why don't we start with you? We'll just go down the list.
Okay, sorry, I was muted.
That's all right.
Okay, so I would watch Apple. Apple can be a swing. Currently, it's setting up really nicely, pulled back into the 20 symbol moving average. We also have on Wednesday, we have the Apple conference. And what we have going on at Trade Out Loud, guys, if you don't have the time to trade, we could trade for you. We have a new auto trading program. We have performance portfolio provided. It's going to be 100% full transparency. All the trades you're going to receive brokerage accounts at the end of each day. So if you're interested, this is a newly launched program for us. It is tradeoutloud.com / auto trading.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'd encourage people to check out your site and learn more about tradeoutloud.com if you don't know about Anka and her site already. Fausto, how about you?
Yeah, no problem. Well, it's always great to be here. And first of all, if anybody wants to know more about Cybertrade University and would like to see some of our professional traders, how they're trading, and one of the original trading room that I started, online professional trading room, feel free to visit our website. We do have events. I have one that's coming up this Thursday. Every Thursday, we do something that's called an open house. I'm going to teach you a little bit more about high frequency trading. I help invent one of the ECNs that are out there. I'll tell you a little bit about what they are, how they work, how they control 70% of the volume, and just basically how to follow the money. So if you want to learn a little bit about from the original day trader, show you a little bit about it. Every Thursday, we do an open house at 12 o'clock. And also, like we just mentioned earlier, that big topic that we were just mentioning, if anybody would like to see the journals that we do use for our traders, so you can want a sample of it, you want to use it, feel free to send me an email. I'll be happy to have you here. But just one last thing, guys. You got a great market. You're doing great. But you got to learn before you can earn. So learn from a bunch of speakers, presenters. Just don't be self-taught. Big failure rate. All right. Been doing this too long, and we want to see you guys succeed, not fail. But thanks for having me.
Thanks, Fausto. Oh, was there a trade idea for the week that you wanted to throw out there?
Trade idea. Yeah, there's a couple of trade ideas that are out there. First of all, what's been pretty big is IPO's been doing great lately. A lot of them are coming out. I would keep an eye on, we've been trading recently this, the pot stock TRLY. It's up $11 today. It's been a great day trade. Started the beginning of August. It was at like 22. It almost at 100. That's doing pretty well. I would keep an eye. Another IPO that came out, BJ's. BJ's been doing great also. GoDaddy, something I've been a big fan of since I've been doing the show. That's been up almost 100%, and Square. So those have been a little bit more on the swing trades of it, but the day trades of it, working off the big percentage gainers, strictly for working off momentum. But the trade idea is, like I said, IPO has been doing pretty well lately. They just made a big comeback. So, but you be a little bit more, you got to be a little more advanced to trade those, because they do get a little volatile. But always trade idea. I'm going to say it again. Trade one share. All right.
Jim, how about you? Anything you want to sum up with?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, we've got the weekly update on the markets, on the podcast with Option Professor. And so everyone's certainly invited to check that out. And, you know, sometimes the best offense is a good defense. And so really learning how these options can be used as a hedging device, I think, is very important because, you know, there for every action, there is a reaction. And, you know, the tax cuts obviously has stimulated a big rally here. And that's probably why we might be asked backwards as far as, you know, the first 2 years might be the best years of the presidency, and the last 2 years might be the reaction, be it deficits and higher interest rates and stuff like that. And then, of course, we've got these tariffs that if it explodes into anything different, you know, the inflationary numbers could change and the GDP numbers could change dramatically. So there's enough out there that knowing how to use hedging tactics, either on a short-term, intermediate, or long-term basis. I mean, obviously, in the short term, you've seen Google roll over pretty good, Tesla roll over pretty good, Facebook roll over pretty good, Amazon just did a pretty good rollover. So even on a short-term basis, hedging tactics make a lot of sense, particularly when things get very overbought or oversold. So again, optionprofessor@gmail.com. That's the email that you could shoot me an email. We'll make sure you get the podcast information. And also, if you have anything to discuss with me, I'm more than happy to give you my input. So that's optionprofessor@gmail.com.
Thanks, Jim. Great getting to talk to you again. I'll just close out here by saying you can reach me at rob@investquant.com or support@quantifiableedges.com. I'd encourage you to check out both of the sites. You can take a free trial of our gold service at Quantifiable Edges, just an email address so we know where to send the nightly letters. And you can also take a 7-day free trial of the Swing Navigator over at InvestiQuant if you want to do that. As far as trade ideas for the week, I'm looking to make money off of a bounce here myself. So QQQ here is set up pretty well. I'd probably be looking to get out of it if it bounces and closes, say, above its 10-day moving average or so, or if it makes a 5-day high. Looking for some kind of short-term reversion there. So we'll see how that plays out. But I think that's got a decent chance to bounce here after having pulled back quite a bit in the last week or so. That's it for me. David, thanks for having me again and putting together such a good group. And I'll look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, thank you. Great show. Just a reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. Also, you can go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past reports or past show archives there. Analyze Your Trade will be off tomorrow, but both shows will be back next week. Next episode of this show will be September 17th, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And the 49th episode of Analyze Your Trade will be September 18th, Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I just want to thank all my guests again for this week. Rob Hanna of InvestiQuant.com and QuantifiableEdges.com. Thank you for being back to moderate. Fausto Puglisi of CyberTradingUniversity.com. Anka Metcalf of TradeOutLoud.com. And Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.